Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. The only rugby podcast that cares about Scottish rugby has now teamed up with the only rugby magazine that cares about Scottish rugby. We are now powered by Scrum Magazine. Get onto scrummagazine.com to subscribe to get in-depth interviews in the Scottish International Club and Women's Game. Follow them on Facebook and on Twitter. Magazine issue number 111 is coming out on Halloween, previewing all of the autumn internationals. Get onto scrummagazine.com to subscribe and get your copy. Now, onto the pod. Is Mauro Itoje a dick? Can Edinburgh beat Toulon? And is Christine the answer for Scotland? Here we go. All right, welcome back to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. Lads, how are we? Matt, how was the anime conference?
It was good, mate. You know, I'm part of the furniture now. It's nice to see some familiar faces when you go back. And yeah, it was a good week abroad.
Very good. Alan, you okay, mate?
Yeah, I'm fine.
We're back at yours. You've put some clothes on for this week, though, which is very nice.
And provided crisps.
And some crisps. Yeah. It really is. Great hospitality at yours this week. And the cat's still here. Little Alan Jacobson running around.
Yeah, just shat all over the floor. So that's great.
That is great. Thanks a lot for joining us again, guys. Before we get started, just a quick reminder, you can follow us on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod, on Instagram, Thistle_Rugby_Pod. And of course, send us some emails, and that is thethistlerugby@gmail.com. And we've had this one from Alistair McFadden. He said, all right, lads, hope you're all well. I'd like first to thank you for keeping me in touch with Scottish rugby back home after my move out to Oz. The pod is regularly blaring out in the car as I drive up the coast to work. That sounds quite good. He says, I remember your pod with Scott Riddell and the story of him and Matt having a fight. A bit of mind games and heat of the battle stuff, no big deal. But I felt that Saracens, and in particular Itoje, went way beyond this, and it was actually as disappointing as it was infuriating. Complete disrespect to fellow professionals and gains nothing for the team. Lads, what are your views on that? Obviously, we're talking about Mauro Itoje celebrating Glasgow's non-try in the match at Scotstoun at the weekend. What were your views on it?
To be fair, when I saw it in real time, I was like, you're a right dick. But do you know what? The thing is that Glasgow were clearly given instructions to rile up Saracens that whole game. Like, there was a lot of shoving going in. And, it's not very statesmanlike, but I just think after sort of 5 minutes of that sustained pressure on the line, he obviously just sort of let it get to him. And I'm kind of... Oh, it's fine.
Yeah,
it is what it is.
I don't really care. I actually thought it was quite funny at the time. I can imagine why you would get really annoyed with it if you were Glasgow, particularly if you went on to lose the match. But I think when we come on to talk about that match, their biggest problem was not the fact that Mauro Itoje was sort of making fun of them.
No. And it was interesting to see that Ali Price came out quite hard on Twitter today.
Yeah, it was pretty punchy.
I quite enjoyed it.
I think he just retweeted it and said, humble guy.
What a humble guy.
It was funny. It was a bit, why'd you have to retweet that?
Like, but the thing is, I was trying to think how I would feel if a Glasgow player did it. And I reckon, to be honest with you, of all the Glasgow players, I think Ali Price would be one of the ones that I would most think would do it.
Yeah.
And if he did it, I'd probably be like, whatever, it's fine.
Yeah.
Get on with it.
I just think back to even like when Stuart Hogg was first coming up, like his first few seasons in Glasgow, you see a little thing when he dived in for a try, and if he had someone chasing him, he'd get up and he'd like roll the ball back in their face. And I mean, that is pure gamesmanship. Like, it's no different really to what Itoje did in terms of what he's trying to achieve.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, it's really funny. Like, you know, it doesn't help that he's English as well.
If you're on the pitch though, and you see that, and you've just not got a try, that must be the most infuriating thing.
Should have got in amongst them.
I've got no doubt it got in people's heads, but I think it's just like such a sideshow for what was a pretty awesome game in a number of respects.
And I'm just happy I'm being spoken about in the same sentence as Mauro Itoje. So,
yeah.
Cool.
Okay, moving swiftly on. We are going to have a look back at some of the news from this week. Not huge amounts to talk about there. Then we're going to look at the Edinburgh-Montpellier match and, of course, the Glasgow Saracens game. Alan returns with a quiz. Have you got a bit of a preview for us on that?
Yes, I have a Who Am I quiz.
Who Am I quiz. Look forward to that. And then the Scotland squad for the Autumn Internationals is going to be named on Wednesday. So we're going to go through that and try and pick our 36-man squad that we would go for.
Oh, 1 to 36.
1 to 36 is all happening in order of preference.
A long time.
So
name the Glasgow and Edinburgh teams.
Knock out everyone who can play. Right, so we'll get into that in a second. Why don't we start? Bad news coming out of Toulon today. Richie Gray potentially out for another long spell
Toulouse.
On the sidelines. Did I say Toulon?
You did, mate.
Toulouse, obviously. Sad about that. But Richie Gray just can't get a long run of games together at the moment, can he?
No, it's savage. And I know, I'm sure people will draw conclusions about the French system and the welfare and whatever of their players, but he seems to be pretty injury prone for a long time now. You know, top 14 grind probably doesn't help things, but there's a few people on Twitter saying today, is this a sign he needs to get back to Scotland and sort of have his game time managed until the World Cup, which I think is quite an interesting argument.
Well, because I think it was his first game back, potentially. It was against Asian last week.
Yeah.
And he's got a 4-month hip injury. Oh.
Well,
it's like some serious injuries as well. It's not just like a little strain.
Yeah. Yeah. But no,
shame.
Bad news, and we'll come on to talk about the impact on the Autumn International squads. Another big second row. We told you last week that Big Brian had signed for Toulon, and we think he has. Toulon have put out an announcement saying as such, but he's still listed as not available for Glasgow due to injury and still training at Glasgow. So I guess that must just be a paperwork issue, or I don't know.
Age verification issue.
I think it could be age verification.
They have no idea. They're doing some serious tests in the lab.
Yeah. That's unbelievable. So, like, a bit of carbon dating to find out just how old, just how old Brian is.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll keep an eye on that one. It's a bit funny, but who knows?
Currently, two teams think they employ him.
Yes.
Maybe
exactly.
That's the scam. He's just banking checks out of Toulon.
Joint ownership, like in Italian football.
Yeah.
What a smart guy. So we'll keep an eye on Brian. Matt, do you want to take us through the Prem 1 results from the weekend?
Yeah, so some mainly close results apart from Ayr, with quite a few players missing, actually putting Curry to the sword, Hoik rather, to the sword, 42-7. Curry once again beat one of the Super 6 winners. That was Watsonians, who they defeated 34-17. And Raki's still looking for their first win. They were pipped 2018 by Glasgow Hawks.
Aki's going down.
Yeah, but they just need one win. Hoik are going down. Well, Hoik beat Aki's last
Hoik
week.
Hoik beat Aki's, didn't he?
Harris and Melrose played out a 17-all draw that included 3 penalty tries. People were getting quite confused about it.
Yeah, supposedly it was like some English ref on some sort of like program they have where they switch refs, just turned up and was supposed to be like the worst ref of all time.
No one was happy. And then Stirling County beat Boroughmuir 28-27 in the last try in the last few plays of the game. So, yeah, pretty close set of results there.
Great stuff. Thanks, Matt. And I'm just going to tidy up a little bit of Alan's fake news before we get too far into the pod. Richie Gray has a back injury, not a hip injury. before the trolls.
Posterior chain. Yeah.
The offside line got that wrong then.
Did they? Mm.
I got my...
Chucking the offside line under the bus.
Fuck you, Dave Bart.
Take up with the BBC. Man, he's got to have a back operation. Oof, which is
still really bad.
You know what? It's probably like a hip and back issue.
They're all connected, I believe. Yeah. So that should be fine. Right. So that's all the news from this week outside of the main European fixtures. And that's what we're going to come on to talk about now. So we're going to start... on Saturday afternoon down in Montpellier. Edinburgh losing 21-15. Tries for Edinburgh from Scotland captain Stuart McInally and big Doogie Fife, Simon Hickey, knocking over a couple of kicks. And you and I watched this game together. It was very frustrating, wasn't it?
Yeah, really frustrating. There for the taking.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a few sort of cooler heads and Edinburgh would have left there with the win.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a difficult one to look at and be disappointed with. And I think I summed it up in a tweet afterwards. You know, if you'd offered a losing bonus point to most fans before, you would have probably taken it. But in the context of the game, it just felt that Edinburgh they absolutely matched Montpellier up front. And then they had so many opportunities to add to the scoreboard. They had one, the weird situation with Bergen and Bradbury, where they did score a try, but it was disallowed for crossing. And so many opportunities missed.
It was almost like they just kind of lost their concentration in the last sort of 5-10 minutes of that first half, which kind of opened up maybe like, was it 21-7, I think, going into halftime. And it was just that 5-10 minute period where they just let their foot off the gas. And Montpellier do just have the class to kind of finish you off.
Exactly. They've got good enough players that can do something out of nothing.
Yeah.
It was 7-all at half an hour gone, and then they went into the sheds 21-7 down. It was really frustrating. I think the Benjamin Fowl try where he beats two people on the outside, that's just a straight miss by Kinghorn, which, you know, you wouldn't really expect him. He was really good in the rest of his game. But I suppose that's probably just, you know, a welcome back for Edinburgh that you cannot drop your guard like that in the Champions Cup against teams that have got that sort of talent.
I do think that is probably one weakness of Blair Kinghorn. I think, like, face-on tackle, he's like a super strong guy.
Yeah.
But I think even Hogg struggles with it a little bit. Those side-on tackles where you just got to like scythe someone down.
I think particularly with Kinghorn is sort of at his top speed when he's had a bit of time to get into it. I don't think he's got those like real maybe fast twitch fibers that someone like Benjamin Fall, who is like one of the best wingers in that kind of situation in the world.
Yeah.
So he's going to get done up sometimes in that kind of situation.
But absolutely. I thought so many amazing positives to take out of that. I think a lot of big name performances for Scotland, particularly looking ahead to the autumn internationals. Great to see Dell and Nell in the front row getting lots of game time under their belt. Scrum looking decent as well. And I thought we spoke about it last week, Alan, about Toulis and Gilchrist needing to raise that game to be really combative and meet that physical challenge of Montpellier. And I thought they had amazing games.
Yeah, I thought specifically Gilchrist just in the boiler room, just put out there that if Rich Gray is out, which obviously he is, I've got absolutely no issues with him starting in the role with Johnny.
Not at all.
Yeah.
So I think that was really good. And I think Bradbury has got to be in contention for taking Wilson's spot at six.
Definitely.
Just in attack, just offers so much more with ball in hand.
Yeah.
And is sort of getting his work rate up to the same level as probably Wilson does bring to that Scotland shirt.
Yeah. Mata as well. It's just like, such a joy to watch. He's so good.
We set up both the tries, essentially.
Yeah.
It was...
But he is just that player that Glasgow are missing. Like, he just can... He will make yards, and he can create stuff out of nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like Nakarara of, like, 4 years ago for Glasgow.
Yeah.
Just getting his hands free and running at space, which is what I think a lot of number eights don't do. He doesn't run directly into the man. He runs at space and gets his hands free.
It's just... It feels as if Edinburgh so far are just like really close to putting together what would be like a 10 out of 10, almost perfect performance. Like all the bits are there.
Yeah.
I hope that this is all leading up to them just actually starting to click going into the league and the rest of Europe. Because as you say, that bonus point is a pretty good result at the end of the day. And the group looks quite open.
I think you're right. I think the first couple of games, they were very, very average. I think they're starting to get into a place where they're playing really good rugby, but just not finishing off enough chances or just switching off for a short period of time. Like, I was just looking at the stats afterwards, and they had like 70% territory, 70% possession, and they were breaking. They were making line breaks. It wasn't like Glasgow where they just weren't getting through.
Yeah.
I think just a bit being a bit more clinical, and you're right, they're going to blow teams away.
Yeah, it's just that it's still a bit disappointing that they are conceding so many points.
Yeah,
that, and I know it's Montpellier way, but it seems as that last year their success was built on this really strong defense, and they seem to have shipped at least 20 points in every match this season.
I think they probably have, apart from the game against the Ospreys. Yeah, certainly close to it. I want to pick up a few others.
Oh,
Darcy Graham on the wing.
Mate, how is he boshing people?
He's so good.
Like, what is that about?
I think he's got the George Horn thing, like the sort of small man syndrome, because he's a short guy, but he is an unbelievable nick. Like, it's incredible really athlete. So powerful. So quick.
How is he so powerful, though? He's absolutely tiny. But he was, like, boshing his opposite man.
Squats, mate. Does his squats.
It's the hamstrings.
Yeah, it probably is the hamstrings. I thought Matt Scott actually had a very good game at 12. I'm really liking what he's doing. And this is not a compliment that I pay lightly. Ross Ford, when he came off the bench, was really, really good.
When was the last time that Ross Ford ran 40 metres and was like a link runner?
2008-09, when he was at like the peak of his
powers. Even think he did it
I'm
then.
I'm thinking like 03 Borders. Like, it was, yeah. I mean, it's the first time in about 8 years I've come out of, watched Ross Ford and been like, oh, he's a good player.
I actually thought, if you look at that bench, the Edinburgh bench, all of them came on and made a bit of an impact. I thought friend of the pod, Jamie Ritchie, came on, made an impact in the back row.
Yep.
Jakub van der Vaart was unbelievable when he came on.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
I think he's really pissed off that they've picked Simon Hickey.
Yeah, and Hickey's not been playing that well.
Yeah.
He's been given that run of games to kind of get his form back.
Yeah, definitely. Which I thought was great. And then, do we need to talk about our man?
I mean, how good was that try-saving tackle?
The try-saving tackle from Chris Dean, which saved the bonus point.
Yeah, Pickhamals, interception.
Yeah,
Chris Dean, 3 meters out, just fucking wraps him up.
And that's why he was the man to pick Ndolo.
Yeah, he would have taken care of Ndolo. No worries.
We'll come on to Scotland wildcards later on. I think we know where yours might be coming from, but. You know, another French side coming to Murrayfield next week. Toulon, beaten by the Newcastle Falcons at home. They seem in pretty much constant disarray. I mean, this has surely got to be now. You look at that performance against Montpellier. Are we backing Edinburgh to win again against Toulon?
They have to. Like, it would generally be a bad result if they lose that. And you wouldn't have said that maybe at the start of the season or a year or two ago. As you say, Toulouse all over the shop. Their side just seems to be complete
Toulon.
Ringers. Toulon.
Toulon, it's contagious. Toulouse. We're really struggling today.
And yeah, I mean, there might be a bit of a backlash considering Toulon lost Newcastle, but they don't seem actually that motivated.
They don't seem
so
honest.
They don't seem up for it. So
I think there's more likely to be, fuck's sake. Oh, well, winning it this year.
I agree.
Yeah. And I think you get people like Fector and Surveyor who must just be like, why am I in Scotland? Like, what am I doing here? This is a total shit show.
Great professionals, but when like the rest of the players around you, it's just, you know, all over the shop.
I'm excited about Surveyor against Darcy Graham.
Oh my God.
That is going to be tasty.
They'll probably get Christine in, I think.
They need to call for reinforcements. There's only one man that can handle that. Okay, so we do predictions now, or should we save them to the end? What do you think?
I think we do it now.
Yeah, yeah. I think Edinburgh will win by 12.
By 12?
Yeah.
Is this the weekend it's going to click?
Yeah, they're going to win by 12.
Okay.
I think Edinburgh will win. Toulon are almost in the relegation zone in the top 14. They've lost their first game. I would not be surprised if they chuck a B-side over 10.
Well, why shouldn't Edinburgh beat a B-side by 12 points then?
No, I think Edinburgh will win. What did I say?
No, you said they'd win.
But you scoffed at my 12-point prediction.
Oh, I think,
more?
12 points is quite a lot.
Oh, okay.
I think like we're looking at like a 5-6 point win.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't think Edinburgh haven't suffered any major injuries that I'm aware of from that squad. I think you just let them roll on. Let the Scotland lads get another...
In our season preview, Alan, you were like laughing out loud at the idea of Edinburgh being even close to Montpellier or Toulon. How ridiculous do you feel now in your little cap?
I just don't think that's a thing that happened.
It did.
I'm happy to go.
Well,
back
listen,
and check.
We're now living in real life. Edinburgh are good now. That's just the way life is. Okay, we've got to live with it. Yeah, I think Edinburgh win. Why not at Murrayfield? I think they'll probably get quite a lot of people into Murrayfield.
Cockerell was issuing a rallying cry today.
Was he?
Yep. So
and obviously Cockerell's time at Toulon as well.
Oh yeah,
tasty.
So no, be a good game.
Be easy for Brian to come along actually as well.
Yeah. It would be quite funny if Brian did start that game.
I'd absolutely love it if Brian started that game. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. So that was Edinburgh. How about then Sunday afternoon, Glasgow? What was sort of touted as one of the games of the round. Glasgow 3, Saracens 13. The only Glasgow points on the board from the boot of Adam Hastings because they decided not to kick goals at all.
Or just miss goals in front of the post. Which is annoying because it's not like Hastings is a bad kicker.
No, it's not. I think he'd only missed one in the whole season previous to that.
He missed four, but yeah. Don't worry about it.
Are you fact checking me?
He's 90, he was 19 out of 23 before the game.
Fine. I will take that. That's okay. But Alan, you were running our Twitter that day. What do you think of it all?
I think it was first game of the season for Edinburgh Glasgow that I was emotionally like drained.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
I actually think it was probably the game that was most like test level, way more than the Edinburgh Montpellier game as well.
Yeah,
I think one of the things that we sort of discussed earlier was all the stuff that Glasgow did normally do badly, they did really well, and all the stuff that Glasgow have historically done well, they did really badly. So their forwards, specifically in defence, completely man the fuck up, which
yep.
I think, and I actually think that's 1-8 as well. I don't think there was any forward in that pack who didn't have an absolute smashing game in defence. Both Maul, Scrum, I mean, who saw Darcy Ray holding his up against Mako?
Not just holding up, pushing back.
Yeah, Scrum, yeah. Pans.
Winning pans. Like, it was great.
But then, I guess just the negatives was in attack, we just looked a bit disarray.
Yeah.
First phase moves were all done about 10 meters behind the game line. No one was really running any lines that are going to hold defenders. And we seemed to just be getting out, shipping out to like the fullback or the winger. And which, no offense to him, but Rue Jackson isn't Stuart Hogg.
No.
So if he doesn't have a lot of space to work in, he's not going to be able to create something out of nothing.
Yeah. Do you think it was just a game plan to sort of move the ball away from the Saracens' back as much as possible? And just sort of the execution is lacking?
I sort of had a feeling that they focused so much on defense that almost attack had just become a bit of a byproduct.
That's what I was thinking. Or they're like, our attack's so good that if we give the ball to like the players who are tearing up in the Pro 14, we will at least score one try.
I also think nobody in the Pro 14 defends like Saracens do.
Yeah.
There is no, possibly with the exception of Leinster when they have their full side out, nobody is rushing you that quickly. I mean, I think the first 5-10 minutes, so many knock-ons, just I think because Glasgow just didn't have that time that they usually have. I mean,
specifically Hastings,
you've gone zebra to Saracens in 1 week. I mean, I reckon there's probably 1.5 seconds difference in their line speed.
Which is why I'm surprised that they didn't like use Alex Dunbar a bit more, take the pressure off Hastings and just actually run it Owen Farrell, whose defence is actually pretty suspect.
I think they had started, recent times. Sadly, he went down with a head knock after probably about 35 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a shame.
They protect, like, Barrett does protect him so well,
yeah,
though.
Yeah.
Like, that's why Saracens functions so much better with Barrett at 12. Also, Barrett is a horrible runner. He absolutely crushes people.
He's very underrated.
I was a bit worried at the start, though, when Saracens scored that try. It kind of reminded me of the first sort of 10 minutes of the Glasgow Saracens game 2 years ago.
Yeah.
When they just sucked the players in with Glasgow defenders in with like Billy Vunipola.
Yeah.
Shipped out and were just making yards ease. We're going to talk about the try.
Yeah. Let's talk about the try because on the one hand, you're like, that's classic Saracens. That is just turnover ball and then relentless phase play, get on the outside and you keep it going and you score a try. But they went into touch. About 8 phases before it was scored, it went into touch.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty, like, you can't really refute that. It happened. Now, I know that the line judge was blocked. The referee relies on his line judge, and it was too far back for the TMO to come in. But surely that's what the TMO is for. If we've got all this video technology, can they not be like, that is definitely out of play?
There's got to be a limit, though.
There's got to be time as well for them to get the pictures. And what do you do? Like, go back. What if it was like a 28 phase move or something? You went back over, like, you're trying to get all that footage within a period where you can actually then say to the ref before he's taking the kick, it's not a try. So,
well, I suppose it could it not work in the same way that if a touch judge sees like foul play, he will say, "Oh, have a look at that," and then the ref can say, "Can you have a look at that, please?" Mm. And then it plays on, and if something happens. I mean, I agree. It's not easy, and I'm just being sour because that was the only try scored in the game, and it was definitely in touch.
Yeah, I think it's a fair point. I think you're probably a bit unlucky to get that. At that point, do I think it would have changed the result of the game? Potentially, no.
I'll tell you what would have changed it. It could have changed the result of the game. Hastings knocks over that point in the first 5 minutes to get three. And then instead of chasing the try just before halftime, we get another three. You're in the sheds at 13-9. Different mindset.
Mm. Yeah.
Different mindset from 13-3.
Do you think Hastings should have taken the three before halftime?
I think after they'd gone for the corner once, not scored, got another penalty, I would have gone for it then and just been like, right, let's get in. I guess they were probably, because at that stage, the ref spoke to Barrett and said one more and it's a card.
Yeah.
So I reckon they were probably going, let's go and see if we can get them down to 14 men.
That's what Rennie said in his post-match interview.
Well, me and Dave.
At that time.
He was like, I think they made the right choice. They should have tried to either get the try or get a yellow card from their side.
Yeah, I suppose it's a judgment call and it's, you know, hindsight's 20/20. But 13-6, is a different complexion to a game.
That seems, once again, like if you look back, think back to the playoff, the semi-final last year against the Scarlets?
Yeah,
where there were a lot of instances where they put the ball into the corner when they were mentally chasing the game and then didn't execute.
Yeah.
Didn't take any points away, weren't clinical. And that, I don't know, it seems like that was a bit of an issue actually throughout the match as a whole, that whenever there was like a chink of light, which you're not going to get very much with Saracens, Glasgow just couldn't capitalise on it.
Yeah, I think both in terms of not taking the points when they were on offer, and then also, as you said, when people like George Turner or Lee Jones made breaks, it always ended with an error.
Yeah.
It was never recycled.
Maybe it's when you're just battering down the door, you get through, everyone's like, oh shit, we're in behind, we've got to do something.
Oh, when George Turner broke through and got to that, he shat himself. Like, literally, he just like flung it back. He's like, yes.
Do you know who they could have done with? Do you know when Scotland used to win games by grinding people down and kicking
Christine.
Points?
Duncan Weir.
Chris Patterson. He should have been there and been like, in Rennie's ear, been like, listen, let's just get some nice 22.
Get me within 25 metres, I'm your man.
You'll knock it over.
There is, whenever you look back at like the, it's either like 06 wins or 08 wins for Scotland, it's always like 18-12, Patterson, 6 pence.
Yeah.
Done.
Maybe a drop kick.
Hanging in there against a bigger, probably better team, stopping them playing and kicking your goals. That's the Scotland way.
Yeah, and also it's now apparent that Duncan Weir is the only man who's allowed to hit drop kicks in Scotland.
It seems that way, yeah.
No one else can go for a drop kick. It's just not allowed.
Yeah, I think also it's on that point, I know we're labouring it, but in the second half, coming to the end, when you get penalty kicks, you've got to start thinking about bonus points and things like that.
Yeah, and I think Glasgow specifically should have been thinking about the bonus point, because I think we can all agree that the chances of them winning at Allianz Park are very, very low.
Yeah,
they're going to be going, if they want to get through to the knockouts, they're going to be going through with four wins, where bonus points count big.
Yeah, exactly.
I think there would have been an attitude, well, I don't know, maybe I'm giving them too much credit, and you don't think that deeply in the midst of the battle, but if you lose your home games, specifically your first home game in the Heineken Cup, you're out pretty much. You are. It's virtually impossible to come back from losing that first game, even if you get a bonus point.
I think with that group, that is a really naive way to look at it. Massively. I think in terms of, if you know Saracens are going to win the group, you've got to be targeting those four middle games. Those are your four, you've got to win four games.
Yeah.
Those are your four easiest games to win.
Yeah.
And you've got to be aiming, and you've got to get as many bonus points as you can along the way.
Mm.
And yeah, I appreciate you can lose the first game, but Scarlets lost the first two games last year and got into the quarterfinals.
Yeah, but the amount of teams that have actually done that
No, I agree.
It's minuscule.
No, no.
The chances are very low, but I get you. But.
So those four middle games, Alan, we got Cardiff away starting on this weekend.
Yeah.
Off the back of that, surely Glasgow got to be looking to go down there and get a win.
Yeah, but Cardiff aren't that bad.
No, they're not. They got a good start as well.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Yeah, although to be fair, they got pretty destroyed up front by Leon. And actually, I think that result is going to help Glasgow quite a lot because I think Glasgow can get a bonus point win home and away against Cardiff. And the hope is that Leon go to Allianz Park this week, get pumped, and just give up on
it. And then give up on it. Yeah, that's an interesting point.
So I actually think that...
Which I think they will.
So I actually think Cardiff getting that win in Leon will really help Glasgow.
Lionel Bouxis is still playing for Leon.
Yeah, I know.
And his kicking style is probably my favourite thing in rugby. He like completely leans back. He's so nonchalant. It looks like he's barely put his foot through it, and he gets more from like 50 metres. It's incredible. It's a hell of a sight.
So do we think they can do it then?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I don't know what the history is, but I would imagine Glasgow have a pretty strong record against Cardiff.
Over the last three or four years.
Yeah.
There's nothing in that pack that's going to particularly worry them, although they do have a pretty fast back row.
Is Navidi fit?
Yeah, he played at the weekend.
Did you play the weekend? Yeah, Navidi, Jenkins, Robinson.
Yeah.
I think they're looking quite strong at them. I think Glasgow should win, but I don't think they will underestimate them, but it'll be a tough match. I would be surprised if they got a bonus point, actually.
Any changes to that particular that team? I mean, we haven't really been through and picked out any Glasgow top performers. I think worth mentioning, Matt Ferguson at 8 looks like a man possessed. He was incredible.
Yeah, I kind of felt that's the first game where he's properly stepped up in a big match.
Yeah, I agree with that. Because I think he's actually played a couple of games in the Pro 14 where you think, right, it's a bit of a flat track, he can make an impact, and he's failed to step up, actually.
Yeah.
So I was really impressed with him.
Kebble is just so good.
Yeah.
Just love Kebble. Can't wait till he's Scottish.
It's going to be so good when he's Scottish.
I know.
And Fraser Brown, another great performance.
I just think Fraser Brown's the best performing player in Scotland at the moment. Like, I just think he does not shy away from a competition.
Yeah,
like, he loves that battle with the Saracens forwards.
Yeah.
He can match them, but he also can get around the park. It's just, I think he's always getting injuries.
Yeah.
That's just the worry. There was no part of me that thought he was getting through that whole Saracens game without picking up something.
Yeah.
But no, I think I'm going for a bonus point win.
Interesting.
And I think they'll probably bring in Seymour.
Yeah, well, Seymour was away for family reasons.
Yeah.
Not injury related, so you'd expect he'll come straight back in.
But it'd be harsh to drop Lee Jones.
Yeah, Lee Jones had a good game.
Lee Jones... looked more threatening than DTH and Rue Jackson.
I wonder if they might pop him at 15.
I'd love to see it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a big match to do
it. But they've got to get a bonus point win. So you've got to, you know, chance your arm slightly.
I wouldn't change my... Oh, Dunbar, HIA protocol, so we don't know where he's going to come down, but you'd think they'd probably just bring in Pete Horn.
Or Sam Johnson.
Sam Johnson.
Back.
Yeah.
I'd maybe bring in Johnson, to be honest.
Hugh Jones is looking good again.
Mm. Yeah, maybe just feels like Johnson and Jones gives you a bit more balance than Horn and Jones.
Yeah.
So,
be an interesting one to see. I agree. I think it's a bonus point win for Glasgow. I think with his back's against the wall time, I think we're definitely going to get something. All right. Alan, do you want to do a quick quiz and then we'll have a look at our Scotland squad for the autumn?
Let's do it. The quiz is, who am I?
And we can just come in.
A dark question.
Do we get, what, one guess per clue?
One guess per clue.
Okay. All right.
I see.
Let's go.
We'll go for number one. The first clue.
Okay.
I was born in 1983 in Stirling.
Graham Morrison.
No.
Just
chuck out one.
Kelly Brown.
No.
Let's keep this going. I don't think you need to guess every time.
I joined Edinburgh as a back row in 2002.
2002 back row.
Roddy Grant.
Nope.
Oh my God. Pass.
Rich McCaw said he rated him as one of the best back rows in the game when he came over for the Autumn Internationals in 2005 or 2004.
Best back rows in the game in 2004.
So he was playing for Scotland by 2004.
That's some trajectory.
Strakosh.
Nope.
Roddy Grant.
Already been said. No.
Fair enough.
I left. I joined Newcastle in 2010.
Ali Hogg.
Yes.
Ah, you bastard.
McCall already said that.
Yeah, supposedly. I was like, what?
He'd been like given one of his opposite number names.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Alistair Hogg is a great guy.
Ali Hogg was quite good for Scotland, though.
Yeah, he was good.
He was. He was an absolute hero. 04 to sort of 2010.
Do you remember he scored that try against France under Matt Williams, but that it got disallowed?
Was that in 06? Yes.
Whenever Matt, probably before that, Matt Williams.
Because I was at the game.
Yeah, it was at the Stade de France.
Yeah, and it
got disallowed wrongly, and it like robbed them of the game.
Yeah.
Got it. That was good. Next one.
I represented the England students team.
Jim Hamilton.
Is that right?
No.
I don't know. Isaac Miller.
I joined the Borders in 2004.
I don't know.
Pass.
I scored three tries at the 2003 Rugby World Cup.
Three tries?
You got to remember the 03 Rugby World Cup compilation video. That was like a classic back in the day.
I remember now. Who would that be?
Ross Beattie.
No.
I still don't.
He scored a classic against the USA as well. If you remember that vid.
I still don't remember.
Loved it. VHS. Boom. I finished my career in Ulster.
Simon Danielli.
Yes.
Poor Simon.
Right. Final one, 2-0. Okay. Hanny is one.
That's okay. It's good fun.
I've played rugby in Scotland, France, and New Zealand.
Pass.
Weigh more than 20 stone.
Weigh more than 20 stone.
Vanessa.
Nathan Hines?
No.
No. I've lost it.
Alan.
I have 25 caps for Scotland between 2000 and 2008 as a prop.
Quite a lot of caps.
Don't know, pass.
You not got anything?
Pass, no.
You know you're going to chuck anything in?
No.
I played at Edinburgh 2000
to 2008. And you played...
Our knowledge of props is really not helping us here.
Think about the clues. Come on. Think about the clues.
I am thinking about the clues. Is that the secret to this game?
Scotland, France, bit in New Zealand, semi-pro back in the day. He was a prop.
Yeah, I know. I've heard the clues. I'm aware of
another
the clues.
Clue.
His alter ego is Santa.
Craig Smith.
Craig Smith!
I'll take that.
Did he play in New Zealand?
Yeah, he played in Nelson before he joined Edinburgh.
Did he?
What a man.
What a man.
Do you want to give some background on Santa?
I don't really know why he's called Santa. I've heard some stories about him, but I actually don't think they're...
No, he played a game for Stumel 2s under the alter ego Santa in like a
they were gonna
relegation
get, the 2s were going to get relegated from like the National Reserve. No, I need to bring in some big guns. And Craig Smith was coaching Stumel. Oh, no, he was coaching and he'd been like attached in the pro draft.
Yeah.
So on the team sheet, it just said Santa.
Yeah.
Air second 15 turn up. Playing against Craig Smith. That's Chimel absolutely thrashed them. And he scores a hat trick.
That is ridiculous. Well, good old Santa then.
Yeah.
Good on him and thanks for that. I enjoyed the Who Am I?
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun.
Maybe that's going to be format. A regular feature. Right. Finally, Scotland, the autumn international squad is named on Wednesday of this week. We're recording on Monday night. So Gregor Townsend is going to name a squad. Last autumn internationals, he named 36 players. So I think we should use that as a bit of a template. And we will we'll go through who we think is going to be in that squad. There's obviously a few positions that are going to be quite quick to discuss, but there's some quite interesting options, particularly with Richard Gray's injury. Second row is looking very bare. Let's start with props. There was 5 props in the squad for the autumn internationals last year, bearing in mind injuries and what have you. I think that leaves us with Nell and Dell, absolutely ironed on from Edinburgh.
Yeah.
Darcy Ray from Glasgow?
Yeah.
Not got many loose heads, so...
Yeah,
so you're going to have to give him a shot.
He'll get in the squad.
I was a bit worried about that, but the fact he did well against Saracens, kind of thing, well, yeah, he could good. Do a job. So Batty last year chucked in, and he was good.
So Bergen as well. Bergen as well is definitely in that mix.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's 4. And then, well, Batty's been playing for...
For Ayr. He's not been playing for Glasgow. Well,
he's not really been
not
in the mix
at all,
has he? Is he coming back from injury, or is he just out of favour?
I think he's just been out of favour.
He has been out of favour. I think what Loosehead.
Yeah, he's Loosehead.
They've just got Kebble and Alex Allen, who I think they see Alex Allen as a stronger option now.
Yeah,
interesting.
Wow.
So, because he has been playing for Ayr.
Yeah, yeah.
So, no, I think, yeah, you go.
Who would be your fifth then? Roy Sutherland or?
I think probably Alex Allen, potentially.
I think they quite like Roy Sutherland.
Yeah.
I think they think that Roy Sutherland at his full potential offers more than Alex Allen.
Fair.
Although I sort of,
what about Murray McCallum? Magnet? Outside shot?
Possibly. Did pretty well in the summer.
Yeah.
It's just hard for him to get club game time, isn't it?
I know.
Now that all those props are back.
Yeah.
I'd be happy with any of the three.
Yeah. I mean, it feels that we are going into this autumn, well, with Nell and Dell, with Bergen and Sutherland and stuff like that, that's not as bad as it was last year. We were pretty threadbare last
year. Even a couple of years ago when you were chucking in Dell and Bergen
unknown
quantities,
definitely.
Now they are fairly proven, particularly Bergen.
What about the hero of the autumn, Daryl Marfil?
He's from Boroughmuir, isn't he?
He was on the bench for Boroughmuir.
He's coming back from injury though, right?
I think he is coming back. But he's played few weeks.
He is.
But it's not like...
Does Cocker's not know who he is?
I just think they've got enough depth.
The heroes of November past.
Oh, no. God. I think they're pretty set at prop, to be honest with you.
Yes,
it feels that way. Hookers is another area where we're fairly stacked depth-wise at the moment. I think you've got to say Rambo and Fraser Brown absolutely in there. And then your third slot is probably between Ross Ford and George Turner. I'd say off the back of Saturday, I'd probably pick Ross Ford. And I can't believe I'm saying that.
Yeah, well, I think there's an argument to... Say, like, George Turner is a great rugby player, but maybe not, like, an amazing hooker in terms of his basics. Whereas Ross Ford, I can't even say this, but, is probably a better scrummager and seems to have improved his arrows. Whereas George Turner is still pretty inconsistent when it comes to that aspect of his game.
Yeah.
And I think you've got, you've got McAnally and Brown, who are really great open field players. So that's maybe room for someone who's a bit different.
I wonder if they'll think, they probably won't think like this, but I feel like Glasgow could potentially lose, obviously, Fraser Brown and George Turner, and they'll still have Grant Stewart and Kevin Bryce, who at that can still probably play Pro 14 level. But if Edinburgh lose McAnally and Ford, and they've literally got like Dave Cherry?
Yeah, and Cammy Fenton.
I don't know. Do you think George Turner gets more from starting for Glasgow for a couple of weeks and just get a couple of run of games, or warming the bench maybe once?
Yeah, I agree. But then if you get picked in the autumn squad, can you be released for...
Yeah, no, I literally just thought that was...
Yeah.
I think you can be the wider squad.
Do you think is going to get more out of being in that squad, Turner or Ross Ford? I guess maybe Turner's the answer. Like Ross.
If you're seeing this as probably the last opportunity for experimentation before the World Cup, because you don't pick a Six Nations side for development, do you?
No, you want to win it.
Your only real development game is probably Fiji, with then a few guys getting tested at a bigger level, maybe off the bench, South Africa and Argentina.
Mm.
So maybe he won't. Do you learn anything new about Ross Ford by having him in this autumn international squad that you don't already know?
Well, that's a fair point, actually.
Yeah.
No, so, I don't know. Those are the four, really. I can't see him going further into the depth book for that.
No.
I don't think any of them are there.
Don't think so.
All right, so that's in the books. What about second rows? This is an area, obviously, Richie Gray out. I think it was the top of the moon on Glasgow tweeted this. So your Scotland qualified second rows, Johnny Gray in, Richie Gray injured, Gilchrist and Toulis, obviously they'll be in there. But then Swinson injured, Carmichael injured, Cummings injured, McKenzie injured, McDonald injured, Hunter Hill injured. The other two that he's named would be Ollie Atkins, playing for Exeter, uncapped, never been invited to a Scotland squad, but he's 30 years old, but he's a pretty seasoned professional. You'd back him to be able to, you know, hold his own at that level. Or Andrew Davidson, who's had a handful of games for Glasgow.
Yeah, I mean, on loan from Newcastle at the moment.
Yeah.
And mainly playing for Ayr. Yeah, it's an interesting one. I mean, I would be bothered, but the fact that, as we talked about earlier, like Gilchrist playing so well, Johnny Gray obviously nailed on, having a pretty good start to the season, and Toulis isn't going to let anyone down.
Yeah.
And then even, you know, you take Rob Harley as a second row / back row option, he's had a pretty good season. He's not going to start, but
I think he's probably earned his position in the squad.
Mm.
What about Murray Douglas? Get him over?
Get him in. Get him over. Fly him in.
Brumby's bound.
He can play five, Murray he can Douglas. Play six. Yeah,
I mean, I'd love to see it. I don't think it'll happen, though.
No. Neither do I.
I going back to Ollie Atkins, I think, why not?
I think, like, give him a shot. Why not probably use this opportunity to get him in?
He probably won't make a World Cup squad, but, you know, he does start for Exeter Chiefs. Like,
I think, but he's only been starting because, like, Johnny Hill and Mitch Lees are both injured at the moment. I know Johnny Hill definitely is.
I don't know if Mitch Lees is, but yeah, sure. He's not going to be starting. He's not going to be starting choice, but he's still, like, playing in an incredible team.
Yeah.
And we are down to our second choice people, so.
No, agreed.
It'll be interesting to see who comes into that one. Right, back rows. This is an area where we've got loads of potential and loads of players. What do you think? He picked seven last time.
Nailed on Watson, Wilson.
Bradbury.
Yeah, I think those are my nailed on guys.
Denton
as well.
I think Denton gets into a squad.
Yeah, definitely.
Blade
Thompson.
Yeah, I think Blade Thompson will definitely get called up.
I think he's going to get called up.
Then you've got Jamie Ritchie, Matt Ferguson, and I think that's kind of it. Conor Dupree's going to be out.
Yeah,
Josh Strauss ain't getting a call up.
Luke Hamilton.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
I think all those players in there can do everything that Luke Hamilton can do.
So do I.
I think Jamie Ritchie is the better version of Luke Hamilton, I think.
And younger.
Yeah. But I wouldn't be that surprised to see him in there.
I guess Adam Ash.
Oh, yeah, Adam Ash.
Is one of the ones you're missing.
I think if Adam Ash had been playing number eight this whole season, then possibly. But he's sort of been between six and eight.
It is interesting that the biggest game of this season, Dave Rennie's picked Matt Ferguson at eight and not Adam Ash.
Yeah.
And he's picked Fazaro on the bench.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I think Ash, as like a backup, back row, wouldn't, you know, let you down. But I just think we have better players there.
Good podcaster as well, to be fair to him.
Let's not talk about that.
Sorry. I keep bringing it up. It's just one of those royalties. One of those sweet ad royalties.
Maybe if we mention it, we'll get ads at the start.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. So yeah, actually, we've got so many options at back row. If you think about John Barkley, still got to come back into that for Six Nations and World Cup and things like that.
I think Blade Thompson would be the interesting one. Do they give him game time?
I think they will.
I think you've got to cap him. You've got to have a look at him. He's been playing well enough for Scarlets, and he's from New Zealand.
I agree.
So therefore, he has
I think
to
he
be
offers
a
something a bit different.
Fair.
Ball carrying sticks.
Things got to come in. Scrum halves. This should be... Actually, I don't think it's going to be that easy. Scrum halves. He picked three last time. Laidlaw can't play the Wales game. But let's have a look at the... But you would pick, at the moment, I would say, Laidlaw, Price, George Horn.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sam Hidalgo-Klein?
I think he'd be the only other guy that came into the discussion.
Pergos has been playing all right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, Pergos ain't getting in.
Ben Vellacott?
I was going to say Ben Vellacott.
Still hasn't been called up for England.
Don't need him.
Do you chuck him in the Scotland-Wales game?
Be quite funny.
I'd love it. I think he's holding on. It was actually this squad announcement that they rapidly edited him out.
Yeah,
do you remember?
Yeah.
They edited him out and put in Nathan Fowles.
Nathan Fowles? We didn't mention George Graham.
Oh, yeah, in the back row.
Gary Graham or George Graham? George Graham's his dad.
Gary Graham. They're all the names. Also, all the kids' names begin with G.
But he has a younger Gary Graham.
Guy Graham. At Newcastle.
Sorry, yeah.
It's George Graham's the dad. Yeah. Gary Graham's the one that got called by England, and Guy Graham's the under 20 Scotland.
There's another one as well.
Gary Graham's still not been capped by England, though, has he?
No, he hasn't.
He's been to a couple of training camps.
Do you think Townsend would like? Not that it's an act of betrayal. But be like, well, if you don't want to play for Scotland, then why would I pick you?
I think he does want to play for Scotland, but he just never...
Do you think that's what it is? Oh, yeah, fair enough.
I just don't think... I think because he didn't get a pro contract, he's probably got...
Yeah.
Bit of a chip on his shoulder about that.
Yeah.
But I don't see the need for Ben Vellacott when you've got Pergos and Hidalgo-Klein that aren't going to make your three. Like,
yeah.
I think he's quite different to both of them. Yeah, but Horn and Price are your Vellacott type player. So,
yeah, agreed.
I agree with that. Tens, Finn and Hastings.
Yeah.
James Lang's been playing quite a lot of 10 for Harlequins, not that well.
Do you have James Lang to cover 10 and 12?
10 and 12. Pete Horn does that.
Yeah.
I don't think we've got any other 10 options, do we?
What? No King
Duncan Tiddy. Weir.
Yes, sorry. Has Weir done enough to get a call-up?
I think he has.
Yeah, but if you don't put in Weir, then you probably don't pick Hastings.
What do you mean?
If you pick Weir, you don't.
If you pick Weir, you're probably not going to pick Hastings.
Yeah.
And
you can't take 3 10s.
And you're going to have Pete Horn in your team. You're going to have Pete Horn in your squad.
Pete Horn's going to be in the squad. And he's going to be on the bench covering lots of things.
Yeah. So
he'll be on like the sort of the wider training squad, I reckon. Because do you not get a wider one? Oh no, that's young people they have, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sort of apprentices. Bring him on as an apprentice.
So it would feel weird to have both Duncan Weir and Hastings in as your kind of second choice 10.
I suppose because neither of them, Hastings and Weir, neither of them play any other position or can realistically cover any other positions.
No, it can Finn, really.
That's fine. But if you have one...
Yes, yes.
Because then you've got Horn probably going to have...
I'd like to see it, actually. But
I think we got a tweet this week saying, when are we going to think about Finn at 10 and Hastings at 12?
Yeah.
No, other way around.
Was it the other way around?
Yeah.
I was like, absolutely never. That would be so bad.
Pooting at 10, Finn at 12, Hastings at
13.
13.
Oh! Now you're talking.
Should we move on to centres?
I actually think the Pudding will very, very sadly be left out of the squad.
Probably.
Because I think they want to get Hastings continuing.
Yeah,
to be in
I think that's the best decision.
Yeah, I can't see. Okay, centres, six of them, please.
Including Horn, who covers 10.
Yep. Horn is in there. Hugh Jones, Dunbar. Obviously. Dunbar, if he's back from his HIA.
Christine.
He won't get in.
Christine's not going to get in.
They'll pick Greg.
Matt Scott.
Matt Scott.
I think they might chuck Sam Johnson in to get him qualified.
Is he definitely qualified?
Sam Johnson does qualify.
He's only just back from injury, though.
I think he qualified over the summer.
Yeah.
I'd love to have a look at Sam Johnson in the Scotland show.
Yeah. And then I think that means... Do you think the Chris Harris experiment is over?
No, I think they'll get Chris Harris.
I think they will.
Yeah, I think they'll keep Chris Harris.
Which I don't really understand.
I think Chris Harris is back up to Jones at 13.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't quite get that.
Chris Harris is a good player.
He's never done anything for Scotland, though.
He's only played like one game.
Two
games.
And they were both terrible.
Well, yeah, but he came off the bench and won.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's amazing how much options we have in centre, actually. It's quite good.
At the end of the day, I know they're bottom of the league, but Chris Harris is starting for a Premiership team week in, week out. And Nick Grigg...
Yeah, and then he got dropped against Toulon. They beat Toulon. See?
Well, that is true. But no, I think you got what Horn, Dunbar, Jones, Sam Johnson, Chris Harris, and then probably Nick Grigg, but doesn't really feel like you need him.
I think it will be Nick Grigg. Townsend likes Nick Grigg.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's quite apparent.
Harris can play quite a few positions as well, so...
He's quick.
Yeah.
Wingers?
That's pretty good. Seymour, Maitland, McGuigan.
Lee Jones.
Who are your other options?
Darcy Graham would be a wild card.
I think Darcy Graham might get in as a wild card.
What about James Johnson as a centre wild card?
No.
Okay.
I thought he played well at the weekend.
He's like one of Cocker's favourite players.
Wee Jimmy.
Yeah, yeah, no. I mean, I wouldn't be anti it, but I'm not like super pro Wee Jimmy.
Just
thought,
chuck it in.
Yeah, I think those four wingers make sense. I think maybe Graham, maybe it'll be a bigger squad. I don't know. We've just picked a 36 from last year. That was the makeup of it. I mean, I can see Darcy Graham again training with the camp.
Yeah, yeah. I think so.
And being involved. But
he can play fullback as well, so.
I'd love to see him get a shot. Maybe it's just too early for him. He is
Rush.
He's like 21 years old. 20 years old. 21
There's no rush, and I think that what Lee Jones has proven in the last few years is he won't let you down at international level. He's now like a solid international winger. Maybe not like the world class, but
yeah,
he's international standard.
I really hope there's another like one or two just complete like rogue shout.
That's what I was hoping. I always now get really nervous about Scotland squads and excited that what is the name that I'm not going to recognise.
Yeah. How great it'd be just like somehow like a Ryan Mills just like came out of the woodwork. It's like he's got a Scottish granny. He's 26, not at an England camp.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's a pretty good player.
I think it's gonna be
great. Get him in.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm excited about it. I think it's like when George Osborne was Chancellor, he used to pull rabbits out of the hat and everyone would be like, oh my god, we weren't expecting that. That's what it's gonna be. Maro Toje, cross code. Scottish now, it'd be unbelievable.
And what about our two fullbacks?
Yeah, well, Hogg out, probably for most of it. There is still speculation that he may come back in time, but don't really know.
Don't see the point.
Yeah.
Fullbacks, Blair Kinghorn, nailed on starter, you've got to think.
Yeah.
And then
we got Byron McGuigan, you can just cover it.
And Jackson.
Byron McGuigan, Jackson, Seymour can if he has to.
I think they'll put Jackson in the squad because
I think Jackson
cover a lot of positions.
Yeah.
I think you get that sort of versatility with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm so excited about who the wild card is now. I can't think.
That'd be good. Hadn't thought of that.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Isaiah West, the guy that everyone thinks is Scottish but probably isn't.
It's like Don Armand suddenly got like a Scottish.
I'd really like to get that sort of granny gate again where they get in someone and they're like, Aaron Shingler. Steve Shingler. Like,
yeah.
Yes,
definitely,
of course,
Scottish.
Yeah.
And then someone dig a bit. Maybe us, we can dig around.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
That sounds good. Okay, well, there you have it. I don't think we actually named a squad there, but we've talked about a lot of players.
We have. One thing I actually just remembered is Sean Wayne, who's come to Scotland.
Yep.
Won the grand final at the weekend.
Yeah,
some tears.
Class.
Yeah, big moment.
So, no.
I'm excited. Interesting
to see what he brings.
Mm.
He's sort of got a pretty roving brief, doesn't he? He's not really doing one specific thing.
High performance coach.
That sounds really good.
It's so ridiculous that the head coach of the grand final winning team is coming to Scotland.
I know.
For the head performing coach role.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. But
I'm up for a bit of a left wing appointment. So
I think it's going to be good.
Left field appointment, not left wing.
Oh, well. Is that it?
Yes.
Good week, guys. Well done.
Well done.
Thanks a lot for joining us, guys. We will be back next week to review, hopefully, a couple of wins in the Champions Cup. And we will see how wrong we got our Scotland squad. Thanks again for joining us. Follow us on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod, on Instagram, Thistle_Rugby_Pod. Email us, thethistlerugby@gmail.com. Get yourself onto iTunes or Acast. Subscribe and you'll get us in your podcast app every single week. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Cheer, bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.